And one more thing too. At the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus, the Son of God, He's not only the victim. We've been talking about how He's the victim. His precious body and blood are being offered there. He's also the priest. How is this being acknowledged in a worthy way in the new Mass? It's not. It's crazy what's happened in the changes that have been made. It's kind of like reduced the priest to like the lay people. I once knew this priest. I mean, it's crazy things. I once knew this priest and what he would do. He'd be offering the Mass, and because he had been so corrupt, and he didn't know it, he thought he was doing something good. Because he had been so corrupted by all these theological defects in the new Mass, what he would do is, when it was time for the readings, and this is in the new Mass, so you have lay people coming up to do readings, and that's also completely wrong. You know, in the sanctuary area, the holiest of places, the threshold of heaven, it's only the priests and the ministers of the sanctuary. But anyway, so a layperson would come up and read the reading, and the priest, what he would do is he would leave the sanctuary area and he would sit down on one of the pews. And the people would say, Father, what do you do? He'd say, oh, I also have to listen to the Word of God. That is totally loony. I mean, where you've lost a complete sense of what the Mass is, and not just that, but of who you are as the priest. It's not you. You are representing Christ. Christ hearing His own. Christ is the one who's giving at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Christ is the one who's there on the altar. That's a beautiful thing also about the traditional Latin Mass. Sometimes I kind of explain it as the priest stays like stuck to the altar. He's kind of like always at the altar. It's Christ who's offering Himself there at the altar. The priest's not supposed to be wandering around in other places and, you know, especially sitting down in the pew during Mass. I mean, I would almost say what, Christ got off the cross and He said, okay, I'm off the cross, you know, okay, well. But just very quickly, in the traditional Latin Mass, notice what this is, what's happening with respect to the priest, that's highlighting the fact that it's not the priest. The true priest is Christ. Christ is using the priest as His instrument. The true high priest in Mass is Christ. And that's why in the traditional Latin Mass there is reverence that's shown to the priest. For example, you'll see the servers kissing the hand of the priest, kissing the beretta of the priest. It's reverence being shown to Christ. The focus in the traditional Latin Mass is not on the priest personally. So for example, throughout the Mass you basically see the cross on the back of His chasuble. Christ carrying His cross. Christ on Calvary. Here, Christ the high priest. The priest and the victim. In the traditional Latin Mass you have many prayers that are prayed only by the priest. It's very important. Not that long ago, when the Latin Mass was being promoted more after Summorum Pontificum by Pope Benedict XVI, I read something that was written by a bishop. And the bishop was kind of like criticizing the old Mass. And one of his criticisms was, well, because like in the old Mass, the priest prays the Our Father alone and not together with the people. Again, such a misunderstanding of what the Mass is. It's precious that the priest is praying the Our Father alone. And the response of the server and or faithful is at the very end, where they give their assent, say, Liberanos a malo. But deliver us not from evil. Because when the priest is praying prayers by himself, these are the prayers of Christ. Christ is interceding for us. This is not just make-believe. These are some of the beautiful invisible mysteries that are taking place. And so it is the one who's consecrated to represent Christ. He's the one who's praying the prayers in a human, out loud voice to reflect the mystery. And in the Latin Mass, the priest does not improvise. It's not his Mass. He does exactly what he's told to do, namely the rubrics, because he is Christ's instrument. Okay, very quickly now. I did want to develop this a little more, because basically this is the last point about how, what can we do to grow in our love and devotion to the Mass and to the Blessed Sacrament, and to be at Mass in a more worthy way and receive Holy Communion in a more worthy way. Now I would just tell you three things. Just think of three things. And that's the altar, Holy Communion, and the tabernacle. Because those are three ways that you can grow in your devotion. The altar. When I say the altar, think especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And just very quickly here, I would say, make the commitment to go exclusively to the traditional Latin Mass and try to go to Mass more often. And those of you that have been going to the Latin Mass, learn more about the Mass. Read more about the Mass. Read your missals more. Because there are so many beautiful prayers, so many beautiful ways for us to honor our Lord as He reenacts His sacrifice on Calvary, the altar, Mass. For Holy Communion, receive Holy Communion more worthily. I was going to say a little bit more about all the beautiful ways that we can prepare for Holy Communion and give thanks to God after Holy Communion. But I'll just tell you this one little thing here. St. John the Baptist de la Salle, he would tell his religious, quote, "Be convinced that there is in all your life no more precious time than that of Holy Communion and the moments immediately following, during which you have the happiness to be able to speak face to face, heart to heart with Jesus." Again, he's highlighting the importance of giving thanks. There's so many beautiful prayers to prepare for Holy Communion and to give thanks after Holy Communion. Pray those prayers. Become more familiar with them. I'm going to recommend to you some few books, but one of those, it's called the Blessed Sacrament Prayer Book. And it's by Father Lassance. I have it right here. It's a beautiful little prayer book. I strongly recommend that you get this book. It's called the Blessed Sacrament Prayer Book. It has so many beautiful prayers of reparation and also of preparation for Holy Communion, giving thanks for Holy Communion, prayers to pray before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's the third one when I said altar, Holy Communion, and the tabernacle. The third way to grow in your devotion is by making visits to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And here also of spiritual communion. The Blessed Sacrament prayer book also has a section there on spiritual communion. In fact, I'll just read this to you real quickly, just so you'll see. This is coming straight from the Blessed Sacrament prayer book. This is what it says. The only requirements for a spiritual communion are ardent desire, lively faith, and fervent charity. No particular form is required. With a contrite and loving heart, we may simply say, "Come, dearest Jesus, come into my heart. Come and satisfy my longing. Come and sanctify my soul. Come, my sweetest Jesus, come." And then it gives a prayer of spiritual communion by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And this is the prayer composed by the saint. We're pretty much closing with this. My Jesus, I believe that Thou art in the Blessed Sacrament. I love Thee above everything, and I long for Thee in my soul. Since I cannot now receive Thee sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though Thou wert already come, I embrace Thee and unite myself entirely to Thee. Allow me not to be separated from Thee. Jesus, my good, my sweet love, wound inflame this heart of mine, so that it may be always and all on fire for Thee. So spiritual communion, visits to the Blessed Sacrament. When you pass in front of a Catholic church, you can make the sign of the cross also, sign of honor and respect to our Lord present there in the Blessed Sacrament. And the last thing is that with respect to all three of these things, the altar, Holy Communion, and the tabernacle, visits to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, remember also, central to the message of Fatima, reparation. Pray prayers of reparation for all those who are receiving unworthily, adoring unworthily. Prayers of reparation. Obviously, this book also has a lot of prayers of reparation, but make reparation when you're at Mass. Make reparation when you're preparing for Holy Communion. Make reparation. If you're giving thanks after Holy Communion, ask our Lord forgiveness for those who aren't giving Him thanks after receiving Holy Communion. So think reparation, whether it's at the altar, at Mass, or when I receive Holy Communion, or when I'm making the visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And the three books that I can recommend to you are, I already mentioned one, the Blessed Sacrament Prayer Book. The other one is called The Holy Eucharist by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Beautiful prayers it has for meditations on the Eucharist, prepare for Holy Communion, to give thanks after Holy Communion. So The Holy Eucharist by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And then a series of books by St. Peter Julian Amard, who's known as a great apostle of the Eucharist. Thank you all, and may you enjoy your dinner. God bless you all.